You're listening to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 20, and I am your host, DJ Chuang, for this Social Media Church Podcast, and this will be a conversation from me to you, and I certainly do welcome and hope to hear a lot from you on this episode. As a response to this episode at socialmediachurch.net, and happy to connect with you on Twitter or Facebook or Google Plus or even YouTube or on our caller listener line at 9493543216. And on this episode, I want to chat with you about five things: the value of social media for churches, to some of my thoughts about a study about how churches are using social media. Number three, what is social media engagement on Facebook? Number four, some of the new things that are happening at onlinechurch.com, a brand new branding for Nils Smith's Community Bible Church there in San Antonio, Texas. And number five, what this podcast is all about, just share some of the things that I've learned over recording and posting 19 episodes previous to this one here at Social Media Church. Over the past couple of weeks, I've had the opportunity to connect with a lot of church leaders at conferences, and the recurring question comes up, what is the value of social media for churches? Particularly conversations I have with pastors that aren't yet using social media, they say they don't use social media because they don't see the value in it. And yet, upon further reflection, I think about pastoral ministry. I was doing it myself for over 5 years. And aside from the weekend worship service where you spend well over half of your working week preparing for the sermon and preparing for the worship experience, alongside of that, you might have some classes, some small groups, and a bunch of phone calls and meetings where you're providing spiritual counsel for people and maybe training up leaders. And aside from counting the attendance that comes on a Sunday morning and the money that comes in through giving and tithes and donations, everything else is not real measurable. And it's not fair that social media gets this undue pressure to have results that are measurable. When you put an ad in the paper or you buy a billboard, I heard in Atlanta they have lots of church billboards. A lot of the other things that happen in church when you're counseling someone or you're providing a word of encouragement, there's not a lot of measurement there. And yet social media, just because it's a new technology or whatever it is, or people just don't understand it, they expect hard numbers and measurements. And the rest of pastoral ministry, for the most part, isn't about those kinds of metrics. And I realize we have to be good stewards, and there has to be things that you do measure in order to get a sense of progress and the impact of fulfilling your church's mission and some of the organizational things that you must do. And there are a lot of things that you can do to measure the impact of social media. Because it is technology, it provides a digital trail for which there's a lot of dashboards that you can tap into as an administrator, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook, to measure activity, which are an indicator of impact. But I don't know. I don't know what it is for pastors that they want to see so that they can see that social media is valuable. So perhaps the better question to ask for these pastors is, well, what value would you like to see? Do you want to see people come to faith just because you tweeted once? That's not real realistic, just as it is not realistic for you to preach one sermon and expect people to respond every time through the altar call. I have to say that's just not realistic. And so what is a realistic metrics that you've found as you talk with pastors who are trying to figure out social media and want to see the value of it? Maybe I ask you this way. For those of you who are now actively on social media, what was the turning point for you to see that this is valuable? Now, for me, I've seen that it's valuable from the very beginning because it is a tool for communication. It allows me to say something once or blog something once, answer someone's question, and be able to refer other people that I have conversations with down the road to something that I've answered already. Kind of a frequently asked questions, kind of a resource. That's the way I've used my blog and website personally. And then secondly, it is a way to have conversations with people, not limited by time or geography. And that's just a multiplier effect that I find tremendously valuable because I do value people and I value conversation. And these social media technologies enable and empower me to connect with a lot of people far more than I can in person. So I'd summarize it this way, that it's about sharing content and finding content and also having conversations around content and just between people. And when you think about it, it's those conversations that foster relationship that make life change and impact. And that's what ministry is all about, really. And so social media is a conduit for tremendous ministry. And we're just beginning to see the start of that development as churches begin to think outside of their walls. And perhaps that's the thing. Social media is not as well controlled as a church worship service that's contained inside of four walls. It's actually spread all over the world practically instantly, globally, and permanently. That whatever you put out there on social media, particularly in the open internet, is just available. Tremendous power when you think about that. And if we are truly all about the gospel ministry and having it spread, well, why not use social media? Having said that, in the meantime, as you get started in using social media, measure everything. As Vince Murat said here on Social Media Church podcast episode number 5, that with digital technologies, you have the ability to measure and to retain and archive numbers from all your activities. And so you should do that just to archive all the data that you possibly can. And then as you have time to analyze it and look for trends where your particular church or ministry is making impact, then you can build on the strengths and where fruit seem to be happening. So that would be a great strategy. And I also want to mention an article that Josh Burns recently blogged about titled Measuring Success for Social Media in Your Church. And he raises some good points that why is it that in the church we can become so obsessed with numbers? We convince ourselves that it is the only concrete way to measure success within the church. And while that is a way to measure success, I don't think it's the only way. And it's too easy to equate likes and followers and retweets with success, which I would agree it is not. And Josh goes on to mention a couple of things of what success could look like, that it could look like the single mom who reads your sermon quote on Facebook about calling on strength from God, and it reminds her to pray that day. Or success could also look like the father who reads your tweet of Proverbs 23:24 about raising a wise son and is encouraged to talk to his son today. And so when it comes to social media, it's putting out those small nuggets of update, short, quick bursts of encouraging words that yield life impact over time. And perhaps, actually, social media enables you to do that too, as you collect those stories of life change through what other people say that they're doing. It actually opens up the feedback loop, if you will. I think that's what they call in the business world, for people to talk back. And when you collect those are the stories of life change that you can measure and those that show impact of your church's mission. A few months ago, there was a infographic that illustrated some things of how churches are using social media, and it was published on Mashable. perhaps arguably the most popular social media blog that's out there, and certainly one I keep up with personally in order to see the latest developments about social media. And a Christian-based digital advertising agency called Buzzplant put together this infographic by surveying churches about how they are using social media. And about 250 churches responded. And some of the numbers that kind of caught my attention, but also raised an eyebrow, because I, in my conversation with church leaders, I just don't find those numbers to be normal. So perhaps the survey was done through social media, and so the churches that responded were already biased in using social media. So it wasn't a good sample of how churches overall are using it. But it's a survey, it's a conversation starter, and it raises some interesting things that churches are using Facebook the most, and Twitter, and then blog. Those are kind of the three most popular ways that churches are using social media. And what was surprising is that the survey response said that these churches' most effective outreach is social media over other means of outreach, like knocking on doors or newspaper or television and radio. And perhaps they're lumping in websites in this category of social media. That would be my venture and guess. And that would fit with my experience. I was part of a church plant in Northern Virginia in the Washington, D.C. area called Ambassador Bible Church. And back in 1998, we launched a website and were actively communicating through our web. Before the days of blogging, we would try to post updates, not only of weekly announcements, but facilitating and fostering conversations through email groups. And even back in 1998, and this is 14 years ago when the internet was just emerging and becoming a part of our culture, even back in 1998, the top two reasons people found our churches was, one, word of mouth, so personal referrals, and number two was website. And so that's consistent, that having a website is critical to how churches are going to reach their community and reach new people. And certainly social media would be or could be an extension of that. Now, as valuable as social media might be to connect with people and to push out links to content and to have some short-term conversation, it is rather short-term. There are statistics that show the average Twitter update gets 90-some percent of their interaction, whether it's a retweet or a reply, within the first couple of hours. So just a 2 or 3 hour lifespan of the average tweet. And then on Facebook, your average Facebook update might get 90-some percent of its social actions, whether that's a like, comment, or share, within the first 24 hours. So while social media has some value, it is short-term value, and it's been my experience and my observation that there's a long-term value with web content that lasts far longer, and actually far longer than, say, television or radio and newspaper that is come and gone. Whereas web content can live online, and if you use good keywords and talk about subjects that people are searching for, people may be coming to you for months and years to come because of the web. So just think about that. The longevity of your content online through a website or through a blog has far longer time value than just a social media engagement. And so both have their value in place and time, particularly on the internet. So the point here is to get your social media working with your website and even working with your blog. Justin Wise, who is a social media consultant out there with Monk Development, he cites a statistic. Websites with a blog gets 55% more traffic than those sites that don't. So I tracked down the source of that statistic, and it actually comes from a survey of 1,500 HubSpot customers back in 2009. comprising mostly of small and medium-sized businesses. And I don't know of a specific study for church websites with that parameter, but generally speaking, having blog fresh, relevant, and compelling content is always going to be valuable on the internet, and have your social media streams connected into that for the shareability of it. So what's happening over at Facebook? I wanted to take a look at what social media engagement is happening, particularly in light of the social media history and milestone on October 4th, 2012, just 3 weeks ago, when Facebook surpassed 1 billion active monthly users on their website. And by active, they use something they call monthly active users as a metric, and that's where they've set their baseline. And my recommendation to churches wanting to measure their social media impact is to set a baseline, stay with it over a long period of time so that you can see the development of those trends, not so much the hard numbers, but the trend that if you're seeing results growing over time, that is a much more meaningful number. But for Facebook, they measure something called the people talking about this metric on Facebook pages. And it is the number of unique people who have created a story about your page. And a story is created when someone likes your page or posts to your page wall or likes, comments on, or shares one of your page posts, or answers a question you posted, or responds to your event, or mentions your page, or tags your page in a photo, or checks in at your place, or recommends your place. And so when it comes to social media engagement, it's these little activities through social media, particularly through their personal Facebook profile, that connects to your church Facebook page. And so over time, as people engage with your Facebook page, it endears them to you. It helps them to remember you. And when they have a spiritual need or when they need an encouragement, they're more likely to come to you because they've been talking about you or they've been engaging with you than if they weren't. That's the basic principle there in branding and engagement. And so I went over to a website called Page Data, and again, I'll put a link in the show notes so you can check this out, to find out what are the Facebook pages that are most talked about in the church and religious organization category. And what's fascinating is the top ranking Facebook pages that are getting the most social media engagements are not the organized churches and ministries. It is these grassroots efforts that are more organic and disorganized, if you will. But there are a few that are organized churches and ministries that are showing up on the most talked about Facebook pages. Both of them happen to be located in Texas. So Joel Osteen Ministries is number 8 on the list, and T.D. Jakes Ministry is number 16 on that list of the most talked about pages. And the one that caught my attention further down the list is number 25, the Smoky Mountain Christian Village out there in the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee. And they're getting good engagement there, and yet they don't even have a custom URL yet. But they're getting a lot of people talking about their page, and that's quite a significant work there, worthy of talking about. And so with those three examples, take a look at those pages, see what it is that they are doing to facilitate that engagement. And there's one more thing I want to say about Facebook pages I forgot to mention during the initial recording of this episode, which is to say that your Facebook page updates are only seen by 16, maybe 20% max of the fans that have already liked your page.
So as much effort as you might put into a Facebook page, you're only going to get engagement, or actually you're only going to get viewership from a maximum of 20% of your fans that have already liked your page. And you might pay to get that up a little bit more, but you'll never get 100% viewership from the fans who liked your page. And this is partly due to the EdgeRank algorithm that Facebook has to only show content to a user that is most relevant and interesting or engaging to them, whatever that formula may be. Probably as complicated as the Google search algorithm, which means your social media strategy really needs to be diversified across multiple channels and not so much just on Facebook. So make a note of that while you're learning from examples of the most talked about Facebook pages that are reaching people.
Now, just 2 weeks ago, a good number, somewhere in the 50 to 60 range is my guess, of church leaders that are actively using social media and doing church online through internet campuses and internet ministries, gathered together in Dallas for a couple of days and had some robust conversations offline about internet ministry. The conference was called iMinistry 2012, and you'll want to go over to nilsmith.com to see some of the notes that he took from iMinistry 2012. I wish I could have been there, but I was in Escondido for the National Worship Leader Conference, where I taught a couple of workshops, as I mentioned earlier. And since iMinistry 2012, it looks like there's a lot of new activity there at Community Bible Church in San Antonio, that they have renamed their online campus as the onlinechurch.com. And he is sharing some of the insider thinking of how they're developing this online campus to be more contextual to the online audience, that they're cut back their worship set. They're having their teaching pastors speak directly into the camera for the online campus, aiming for a 30-minute window to better engage and serve the audience online. So you'll definitely want to subscribe to nilsmith.com. And with all these new developments, it looks like I have to invite Neil Smith back to Social Media Church for another conversation. I talked with him back in episode number 2, just to get a snapshot of what they were doing the first year and a half of CBC Online, and now they've become onlinechurch.com. So exciting new developments happening there. It looks like they're really doing some good things in keeping up with new developments in technology and social media online to better serve the audience there, and being open to share that with the public as that is under development. And I know it takes an extra effort to share what you're doing when you've got so much at hand that you are working on. So I want to thank Nils for doing that, because that's how we can really learn together and spur each other on. Onlinechurch.com is just one example of many churches that are doing church online and providing an internet campus where people can worship online. And according to a recent study from Leadership Network, there are now over 5,000 multi-site churches, of which 10% have an internet campus. So if my math is correct, that's over 500 churches that are doing internet campuses and providing online worship. And yet my list is only at 100. So there's at least 400 other churches out there that are doing online worship beyond a live stream. And I'd love to hear from you if you know about some of those churches, or if you are one of those churches. And let's add to the conversation here at Social Media Church, because this is the place for those conversations and to tell those stories so that we can learn together about how the church can better engage our world. It's just going to be an increasing part of how we do life in the 21st century. And that's why we're here at the Social Media Church, is to foster those conversations so that we can learn together and be a part of that crowdsourcing dynamic that can happen online, that we can have these ongoing conversations that spur our thoughts, give us new ideas, sharpen our thinking, and get behind how to use social media effectively for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. So this podcast is a labor of love for me. It's a kingdom resource that I'm offering out of the overflow of what I've been blessed with. So it's not a sustained ministry per se. As God gives me daily bread and gives me sustenance, I want to provide a service to the church, capital C, and provide this research and development aspect that's so needed in the church, as we need to figure out a new way of reaching people and serving people and ministering to people with all the tools that are available at our disposal. Now, some of you are very skilled at operations and business side of things. If you see potential here for an R&D lab for the church, please do give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. Business is not my forte, though I still need to pay the bills. I'm not financially independent. So if there's a way to make this a part of a larger offering that serves people in a way that they're willing to reciprocate with some finances, let's make it work. Let's figure it out. Please give me a call. Drop me a line at socialmediachurch.net. Now, here's where you, as the listener, can really help me out. Three things you can do is share about this Social Media Church podcast with all your friends and colleagues on Facebook and on Twitter, and blog about it. We need you to spread the word about extending the reach of the Social Media Church podcast. Rate and review us on the iTunes store so that people can find it and access a valuable resource for developing their churches and their ministry's social media strategy. And I want to hear directly from you also. Call in on the feedback line at 9493-543216 and leave a message with your comments and questions about how you're doing social media, or what you're trying to figure out, or what you're dreaming of, and we'll incorporate it into a future episode of the Social Media Church podcast. Or just add a comment at socialmediachurch.net. I'm eager to see your comments and feedback here for me at the Social Media Church podcast. This concludes episode number 20 of the Social Media Church. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for subscribing. And thank you for spreading the word. Until next time, we'll stay connected online.